We're thankful to be a part of the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And the kingdom of God is such that no matter what the season is, God is always in control. And God always has the answer. And we're thankful tonight to know a God that is a God for every season. And tonight we say, along with the psalmist, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. It is an undergirding heavenly philosophy that no matter where I am or what I'm doing, God is good. And tonight we want to give God praise and we want to magnify Him. We know that there is no end to the increase of the government and the peace of God. The administration of God just keeps growing in the earth. It is the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2. The stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands has become a great mountain and filled all the earth. And the angels sing in Isaiah 6, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. The whole world is filled with His glory." So you can't be somewhere right now where the glory of God is inaccessible. You can't be somewhere right now where the kingdom of God won't grow. I don't care what the culture is. It doesn't matter what the finances are like. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. The kingdom of God was designed to grow, designed to build in you, in your home, in your life, in whatever you put your hands to, in the work of your life, in your vocation, in your family, in your marriage, and in your spiritual ministry. God has determined that He's going to grow in you. And so tonight we give God praise and we thank God. If it's raining, this is the day. And if it's cold, this is the day. And if it's hot, this is the day. And if it's COVID-19, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. And the kingdom of God is going to grow. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to always grow. So we expect revival in the middle of this challenging time. We expect revival in your home. I've got an idea right now that you're growing right now because of the pressure. That's what happened to the church in Jerusalem when the pressure came down. They blew up in growth and they increased. And every time they faced an obstacle and a challenge, they grew. That is the nature of the kingdom of God. So it's the nature of the kingdom in you and in this church fellowship. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Isn't He a good God? Isn't He a good God? Don't you love Him tonight? Hadn't He been good to you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I appreciate the ministry teams and the music and the praise and the media team and all of these that are coming to support these services. And I appreciate the media team helping us with the theology class and the Bible studies, and they're always right there and they're always very responsive. And we're just trying to continue the ministry of the kingdom of God in a time where we are not physically together. And I'm excited about it because we've been stretched. I was talking to Brother Martin this morning, and they had like 120 unique views on their presentation this morning. And it's going, he told me about his family in Mexico that are tuned in to hear him preach this morning. And another brother has some folks in Honduras that are listening in, and a lot of other folks that may not have been here to a physical building. They have come into the, they have come under the influence of the Word of God on an internet broadcast. And so we're excited about that because we're being stretched. And obviously, we're going to continue to do some things after this is over that we never even thought of before. And so we're excited about God building us and stretching us and all of the bounty and the goodness of God. Can you say amen? Praise God. So you want to be in prayer. Always watchful for people that you can be a blessing to. And stay in touch with your church family. Make sure that we know if someone's in need or if there's something we can do to help. And be be proactive in connectivity, be proactive in touching base with the church family. And this is easier today than it's ever been because of social media. But think about our elders who may not be that active on their social media. So just think about staying in touch with the church family. This is a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Prophecy is coming to pass on every side, and we're looking forward to revival. We believe in end time revival, and we believe that we're at the end time. We believe that Israel is in the land, Jerusalem is Jewish, Russia is in Syria. They've come down the map for Gog and Magog in the Middle East, and the Ezekiel 38 is in place. The players are in place. The pieces are on the board, and all you have to have is the tripwire. And then all of that starts happening. So the trumps are ready, the vials are ready, the book of Revelation is ready. And if all that scares you, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Don't be afraid of what God is doing in the earth. If you belong to God, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you're going to die, but you're going to live forever. One of the funniest verses in the whole Word of God. You may not think this is funny, but it's Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. It's funny to me because it starts, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. So I could see how you might not think that's real funny, but you got to read the whole thing. I saw the souls of those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, because they wouldn't take the mark, Brother Jermaine, and they wouldn't worship the beast. Well, the church is in that group. That's the church. And for the name of Jesus. Now, who else is preaching the name of Jesus? And then at the end of it, it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And that's what's funny, because you can't kill what God has made alive. That's what's funny, because they cut their heads off. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you stand in the day of the Antichrist, you're standing with Daniel and the three. You're standing with those Hebrew children in the plains of Dura. You're standing there. This is your moment to stand like the greats in the Old Testament. This is your moment in your dungeon experience to sing like Paul and Silas. This is your moment to carry the torch in your day. I know there have been heroes in the past, but somebody might ask, where are the heroes today? I'm telling you, they're alive and well in the womb of the church of the living God. And they are as strong and as determined as any people group ever before in the kingdom of God. So this is our day, and it's the only day we get, because it's the day we're living in the kingdom of God. So this may be you. My advice to you is, if you're one of those that gets your head cut off, give them something to talk about. Talk in tongues until your head hits the basket. And know this, that as soon as that blade falls, now if it's me, I'm going to help the guy sharpen the blade. Don't cut me with a dull blade. But I want to make sure that they know that they can't kill what God has made alive. And I'm going to be alive forevermore. Do you understand? It doesn't matter what happens in this natural world. The church is always moving into promise. Let's clap our hands one more time and bless His name. We praise You. We worship You. We lift You, O God, and we magnify Your name. So we're going to read tonight from Joshua chapter 1. And the idea that we'll handle tonight is that the kingdom always moves into promise. There are new seasons of earthly promise, and there are new seasons of heavenly promise. But the church is always moving. The kingdom is always moving into promise. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. This is the root word for the Appalachian word victuals. Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Praise God. If you love his word tonight, let's give God praise and magnify him for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for the privilege of handling your word tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of your word in our lives. Make it like seed tonight that brings forth the will and the purpose of God. And mighty God, while we're separated from one another physically, let your word root itself deeply in every house, in every family. Let it, God, sink the roots of the kingdom down into their homes, and let their homes become temples, and let their families become churches, and let their fellowship be the fellowship of the people of God. Let your word bring it forth in their homes. God, I'm asking you tonight, do miracles in their homes, oh God. In this time when the enemy would say, I've shut them down, work the work of God in their homes tonight. Let prophecy go forth in their homes. Mighty God, let the believers lay hands on the sick and let healing go forth in their homes tonight. God, those that have lost their jobs or are struggling, mighty God, be their provision in their homes tonight and take care of them and lift them up before the enemy and shut the mouth of the enemy and rebuke the enemy for their sake. Oh God, I pray that you would do it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. All right, so this is the new season. This is the death of Moses, and this is the beginning of the leadership season of Joshua. And so Deuteronomy chapter 4, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried him, Moses, in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And this was an appropriate season of mourning, because it breaks your heart when someone says goodbye. And we believe in heaven, and we believe in eternity with God, but it's always a difficult emotional thing when somebody slips over. That's how we're wired, and that's the price of loving people. And if you don't love them, it doesn't matter to you. But when you love them and you have to say goodbye, even when they're traveling on a long trip, you're sad to see them go. And so they did a 30-day stretch of appropriate mourning. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. But now on the way to promise. Now moving on into promise. And I would suggest to you that Moses did not falter in the sequencing of God's plan for him, but he moved right out of that body and right off of that mountain and right into the presence of God. We see him later in the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so Moses left that spot as others had before him and went right on into the future future promise of God, a heavenly promise, if you would. And so it wasn't like a loss there, but it was the next step up into the plan of God in Moses' life. Death for us is not a cessation of being. Death is a portal. Death is a doorway, and we move right on into the next season of our experience in God. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit concerning because it's an unknown, and quite often the manner of death is unpleasant or perhaps painful or uncomfortable, but we know, and down in our depths of our heart, we know and we understand that God has already kicked the door off of death and hell and the grave, and that we're going to live forever with God. Somebody say amen. And so the plan of God and the people of God and the kingdom of God only know one direction, that's straight on and up, on into the vision, on into the promise, on into the will of God and the kingdom and all that it holds for us. Now some are moving on into earthly promise, and others are moving into seasons of heavenly promise, but the kingdom of God always moves into promise. The kingdom of God is always moving up. The path grows brighter. It moves from faith to faith. It moves from glory to glory. It moves up the dialectic of the plan of God, and every vista is better than the last one. And the New Testament is better than the Old Testament. And the new high priest is better than the old high priest. And this new Holy Ghost within is better than the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and in the temple of Solomon. When Jesus stood with them, he said, a greater than the temple is here. A greater than Solomon is here. I want you to know that we are walking in now, right now, the greatest moment that the people of God have ever known. And the only moment that's greater is the moment that's coming. And the only moment that's greater is the next moment. The only day that's greater is tomorrow. And the only vista that's greater than where we're standing right now is the next vista that we'll stand on with God. And some of us, it'll be into the natural promise of God, the earthly promise of God. And some of us will be moving on into the heavenly promise of God. Somebody say amen. So we see here Joshua's first command. Joshua has been on the mountain with Moses and in the temple in the presence of God. And when Moses, in the tabernacle, he would leave the tabernacle, the young man Moses would stay there and sit and meditate and drink up the deep goodness of the presence of God. And so Joshua is prepared, and Moses has given him a mandate and a charge that God instructed, and he's laid his hands on him, and the Spirit of Moses is upon him. And so you get this transfer, this generational transfer of anointing and the generational transfer of the mantle of God. And it's happened now. And Moses is moved on into the heavenlies, and Joshua is moving on into his first command in Canaan land. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, the kingdom is forever, but earthly men are not. Now Joshua, in just a day or two's time, now Joshua is standing before them, and he's standing in the place where Moses stood, and he's standing in the anointing where Moses stood, and he's standing in the job description that Moses stood in. And Moses has not lost, and Moses is not diminished. Moses has moved on into the next theater of compliance with the kingdom of God, the next place where he's on staff with God and doing business with God. But now Joshua's standing there, and it's the reality of the existential journey, and it's the reality of life on earth. Earthly men are not forever, but the kingdom of God never knows an end. And life in the kingdom of God wear people out, because we're not as durable as the word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. And we're not as durable as the kingdom and the anointing of God. And we wear out along the way. I want to commend you, and I want to encourage you, if you're a young person in the kingdom kingdom of God now. Get all you can get and be all you can be in the house of God and in the kingdom of God, and do all you can do in the kingdom of God and in the house of God today, because your moment won't last forever, and your body won't last forever, and your strength won't last forever. And it's not a loss, and it's not like you're moving toward this grave, this open pit. I don't even think of it in those terms. I'm not moving toward a grave. My God, if I'm going to, my wife and I have a plot out across from Jim and Nick's on Highway 11 at Jefferson Memorial. But when you put me there, don't go there. Don't go there. Go to Jim and Nick's instead. Don't go there and bring flowers. Don't go there and weep and mourn. I'm not there, and I'm not going to be there. My appointment is not a 6-foot hole in the ground that you can lay this body down, but who I am is going to be standing in the presence of God, because the kingdom promise is bigger than the body that we're walking in, and the kingdom promise goes on forever. So seasons change and leaders come and go, but it's never about the man. It's always about the kingdom of God. It's about the timeless principles of the Word of God. God is always the same, and our allegiance is to God. So when there is a transition of authority and a transition of when you grow a little older and you move into a new Sunday school class, it's still all about God. And when you grow a little older and you move into the youth group, it's still all about God. Don't leave your fascination in the season before. And there's something about humanity that doesn't like to move on and move up and change, and we like to cling to the past. But if there's anything you need to learn about life, change is the most constant dynamic. And if there's anything you need to learn about the kingdom of God, you need to get out front of everything that's moving and changing, and you need to be on fire for God. And you don't tether yourself to a place in life that's going to let the kingdom of God pass you by. Whether it's a bar stool or whether it's some type of ministry that you love, because God will move you from ministry to ministry. My first ministry in the house of God was, I was a drummer. I was the first drummer they ever had in the first Pentecostal church of Baton Rouge. And it was a new idea to me that they wanted drums in church. It was a very cool idea. And it was a wonderful thing, and it was a terrible thing. It was a wonderful thing because I loved doing it, and it was a wonderful thing because it was so very cool. But it was a terrible thing because everything was 3-4 time. It's a drummer's nightmare. It's like being trapped at the Louisiana Hayride or something your whole life. Oh well. But I had different ministries, and I would move on into different ministries, and life is like that. But you don't say, well, no, I'm happy where I am, and I'm just gonna kind of set my roots right here, and I'm gonna stay. You've got to be open, because the Spirit of God is fluid and the kingdom of God is dynamic. And God has a plan for you, and God wants to take you somewhere, and I don't know where that where is, and you don't know where that where is. But don't love the little box that you're in right now. Love the God that's ministering to you while you're in that box. Preacher, don't fall in love with a pulpit. Love the Word of God. Don't fall in love with the crowd. Fall in love with the God that has gathered the crowd together to invite them to go to heaven. Let's clap our hands and bless His name. God's always the same, and our allegiance is to God. The responsiveness and harmony are static. In the kingdom of God, we're always called to respond. Doesn't matter the day. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter what I'm doing in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you what, I don't care if I'm sweeping a floor or cleaning a toilet or preaching a sermon or playing the drums or whatever God needs me to do. That's what I want to do, and I'm happy right there. I want to be responsive. And when I say that, responsive in a biblical way, responsive in a positive way, responsive in a spiritual way, consistent with the Holy Ghost. close. Harmony is a static dynamic in the kingdom of God. I want to be in harmony with the people of God and with the way that the kingdom of God is moving. And the way that the kingdom of God moves, you have to be careful that you're not in dissonance or you're not in discord. Because when God begins to move you, he may be moving you out of something that you might be afraid to lose. Or he may be moving you into something that intimidates you a little bit. But you need to be in harmony with the moving of God and the word of God and the people of God. Not dissonant. That's like, I wish Sam could give me just a full hand on the keyboard right now. And it's okay. By the time you got there, I'd be gone. But it just sounds like, but if you break it out and you find those harmonic notes that fit with one another and work with one another and support one another, and that's the place. But that's where you want to be, with the moving of the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God moves, you're in harmony. You're not in discord. You're not resistant, but you're flowing with it. You're embracing it and you love it. Whatever God, your prayer in the morning should be, whatever you're doing today, God, let me be a part of it. God, whatever you have in mind today, let me be a part of it. Let me love it and let me help in some way. Help me to be effective in what you're doing today, oh God, because I want to be responsive in a positive way and I want to be in harmony with what you're doing, oh God. And new leaders have to emerge, and new leaders rise up out of the flat rock of little babies and young people, and new leaders rise up out of Sunday school classes and kindergarten classes and beginners classes, and they're little snotty puking creatures on the pew for a while, and you look at that and they're so cute, it's a good thing, because my goodness, they're vile in a lot of ways, you know? They're not housebroken yet or anything, and they're so cute, it's a redeeming quality for them. But that's where your leadership is coming from, and that's where God's going to bring them up, and this is where praise is perfected, and this is where strength is ordained, when one generation proclaims God's grace and goodness to another generation. And that has to happen. Time goes on. The kingdom inevitably goes on, and men move in and out of positions of leadership in the kingdom of God. But there's always new breath and new life and new vision, and we've got to be embracing that. The people of God always are looking to the future, always looking to the vision. Where there is no vision, the people die. They perish. They wander aimlessly. And so we're constantly looking toward that next thing, toward what God, and I'm not talking about the next new thing from the faddish world culture and from the faddish church culture. We're not looking for that next new thing. We're looking for when the Spirit of God, like the cloud, a fire and cloud with Israel, gets up and begins to move. We're looking for that thing. We're looking for the sound of the trump that told them it's time to pack up and we're moving into some new day and some new place. And that's what we're looking for. We want to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit of God and embrace the future, the constant dynamic of change in the kingdom of God, and the inevitable transfer of authority and the moving of generation to generation. Nations have to realize this, and businesses have to realize this. And if you've ever seen that sigmoid curve that's used in business presentations and discussions of transfer of authority and all, you understand that there's a little bit of a downward loop on the bottom of that. Essentially looks like an S with a little tail on it, and it means this is what we're doing. It's a company that's morphing into a necessary change. It's a church that's morphing into a necessary realignment of ministry. It's a company that's changing personnel on their board, or a church that's changing personnel and its ministry group or whatever. And in every instance like that, there's a little downward tick. While if it's a business, there's a huge investment early on before you start making profit. If it's a spiritual enterprise, there's a place where there's a lot of grunt work and you can't really see anything happening. Like if you're starting a church in a storefront, there's a little place there where it doesn't look like much anything is happening, but then you catch a little traction and it starts moving up. And friend of mine is just been moving up for 30 years here at New Life, and we're excited about what God is doing, but you have to be ready for the inevitable transfer of authority and the inevitable changing of seasons. If it's a tribe, if it's a church, if it's a family. Here's Israel. And we're in 2 Samuel chapter 21. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. First time this has ever happened in battle. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. He saw David, and David missed a step. And he saw David, and David wasn't as quick as he had been in the past. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and succored him or strengthened him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt no more go out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. We've come to a place now, and it's a different place, and we needed you in the day when Goliath stepped into the valley of battle, and Saul was afraid, and the people were afraid, but the whole nation has changed now, and not only do they have one giant killer, now they've raised up a whole squadron of giant killers. And Abishai is one of them. And they say to David, you can't go out with us anymore. We don't want the light to go out. David, you're in a new season. You're not going to war with your sling and your stone. You're going to be a representative person. You're going to be a figurehead. You're going to be a leader and an elder among us. But you can't walk with us as a warrior anymore. More. And it came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. And then Sibekai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jerorgim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath. And there was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20 in number. And he was also born to the giant. And he defied Israel. Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. And these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. The devil never goes away. And the giants never go away. And the lifespan of a David is a temporal thing. But I thank God that the kingdom is always going forward. And I thank God that there's always a young man that's going to rise up and say, I saw David do that. I can do that. God strengthened David, and God will strengthen me. We don't get a backstory on them. All we get is the fact that when new giants rose up, new giant killers rose up. And that is the nature of the kingdom of God. And we're not going to write a new song and sing a sad song. Oh no, there's more giants. And now David, our giant killer, has run out of steam, and we can't expect victory anymore. We're not going to write that song. We're not going to sing that song. We're going to sing a new song, and it's going to be, there are more giant killers in the kingdom now than there was a generation ago. There is more strength in the kingdom of God now than there was a generation ago. I love the stories of the old. I love the old-timey preachers. I love the stories. I have great memories of district conferences and camp meetings and conferences and the moving of God and great preachers in the past. But I'll tell you, I will not go to seed in the past, because that's not the nature of the kingdom of God. It's always moving into promise. And the greatest sermons are yet to be preached, and the greatest songs are yet to be sung, and the greatest prayers are yet to be prayed. Let's give God some praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, come on, somebody give God some praise and magnify him. Ah, hallelujah. Somebody needs to run around the coffee table. Somebody needs to run around the kitchen. Somebody needs to run. I know they told you don't run in the house, but forget that right now, because the house is a church. Somebody needs to run. Somebody needs to jump. Somebody needs to clap a little bit. There in your house, there in your church. Hallelujah. 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 They've come a long way from the days of Saul hiding in fear of Goliath. They've come a long way from all of Israel hiding with Saul. But the greatest leaders, they grow old, and the existential journey takes its toll, and the promise of God ushers Moses on into glory, and David is going to draw his feet into his bed, and the commentary is going to be, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You got to really resolve this business of mortality. You really need to. It's the core message of the redemptive process of God. God came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And all the people he raised from the dead, that was just an indication that, look, death can't lay claim to you if I lay my hand on you. But he didn't come to just give you a resurgence of life in this world. That works that way sometimes. But what he came to give you was victory over death and hell and the grave. So the leader has to know this. And the leader has to fully embrace the promise of God. And on into the promise, on into the next vista with God. And the new leader has to know this. The new leader here is Joshua. And he's got to know, okay, this is my day, this is my moment. And I've got to walk in this day, and it'll be unlike anybody else's day. And as it goes, this is the best day that I've ever had, and the day the Lord has made. And the people have to know. Because you've got to resolve that business of mortality. And if you cling to the past, you're going to hurt yourself and everything you love. If you cling to the past, you'll distort the past. You won't see it clearly. You'll lionize it. You'll venerate it. And, oh, there wasn't anything like that. Oh, those days are gone. Oh, and it'll never be like that again. Well, you shut your mouth. You're old, and I respect you, but you're just an old fool is what you are. You know, you were a young fool, and now you're an old fool, but you don't get credit or points just because you get old. If you're stupid and you get old, you're old and stupid. There's no redeeming quality to that, you know? And I can't respect you just because you're old. Because if you're old and evil, you're just old and evil. I don't respect you. And if you're old and stupid, you're just old and stupid, and I don't respect you. If you venerate the past so much that it overshadows the today that God has given you, then you've made a gross and a terrible distortion, and you've committed a sin against yourself and against the Word of God and against your children. You'll distort the past. You won't see it clearly. You'll destroy your today, and you'll totally distort your tomorrow or the vision of God. You'll lay your today and your tomorrow on the altar of something that you thought was so special and so perfect. And what you really are doing when you do that, you're trying to regain your natural youth. You're trying to regain a moment, a magic moment, and you're afraid of the grave, and you're afraid of the future, and you're afraid. And fear is not the place where we need to live as the people of God. We live in a place called faith, and we're not looking at a grave. We're not going to venerate the past because we're afraid of going into the future. We're going to say, bring it on, God. Make this next day better than any day we've ever lived. And make the next day better than that. And if I'm not in it, then bless God, it's still going to be a great day. Because I'm going to be standing in the presence of God. Can you hear me tonight? So new seasons, new roles, new responsibilities. And at some point you exit. At some point, and God is pretty perfunctory about it. He said, all right, Moses, take Aaron, and let's go up to the top of the mountain here. And now I want you to strip him of his priestly garments, and I want you to put him on his son, and now he's going to die. Boom, and he dies. Now let's go back down off the mountain and just wait a minute. Shouldn't it be a parade or something? Shouldn't it be more dramatic than this? And it's about the same way with Moses. Moses, come on up to the mountain. Now do this, 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 and I've talked to you about some things you need to do before you die. And so that laundry list of responsibilities never stops. You never get a sabbatical, right, just because you're going to die. And God takes him to the top of the mountain, and God says, now you're going to go, and you're going to die up here because you didn't obey me when I told you to speak to the rock. But here I want to show it to you. I want you to see the land that I'm going to bring the children into. Isn't it great? Now die. And he dies, and God buries him. But as soon as he dies, his spirit leaves his body, and he's standing there with God, and he watches God bury the body, and he moves right on in to wherever you go, whatever that is, that realm of the spirit. You have new seasons, you have new roles, you have an ongoing pursuit of responsibilities in the kingdom, and then you exit. And in the kingdom, it's all about the next thing. It's all about the vision of the next phase of promise. So Daniel gets a moment of clarity. And this is Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall Michael stand up. So Gabriel's giving Daniel this overview of the end time. Now, the book of Daniel is full of apocalyptic things and things having to do with end time prophecy. It's a great, great read for understanding the book of Revelation. But here he's buttoning it up. He's wrapping it up. And he says, and in that day, Michael's going to stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, or Israel. Michael is the archangel of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, and everyone that shall be found written in the book. And so that's talking about the coming of the Lord and the great deliverance, like at the Battle of Armageddon. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end, where many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And Daniel said, and I heard, but I understood not. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Because this has been Daniel's shtick. This has been Daniel's gig, his job. He goes as a wise man before Nebuchadnezzar, and he's starting in chapter 2 in Daniel. He starts getting dreams and visions and understanding, and he interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and that's what he is. And here he's just doing the same thing, and he's just saying, what will be the end of these things? And the angel says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. And what he's telling him is, this is it for you. I'm not giving you anything else. And these are things you can't. I know you're used to looking into things, but you're out of time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. And the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, that's a euphemism for die, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. And Daniel, here's one more mystery. The whole experience in Babylon has been, and in Persia has been, Daniel revealing, Daniel seeing, Daniel hearing, Daniel getting direct input from God and from the mouth of Gabriel. And here the angel says, nope, you're at the end, you're going to rest. You're going to sleep, and then we'll be down at the end of the days, and then you'll stand there. John has a dilemma that is sort of like this, and it's not an easy thing to navigate. I'm giving you the high spots of it tonight, and I'm being very optimistic about it. I'm giving you the ideals, and the ideals are what we want to handle and deal with. But as we approach these things, of course you feel some uncertainty, and of course you feel some fear, and of course you don't know exactly what it's all going to be like. But we stand in the promise of God, and we embrace the promise of God, and God is good, and he doesn't make mistakes, and he does everything. Everything well. Can I get an amen? God is always right. And so the disciples of John come to him in John chapter 3, and they say unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, they're talking about Jesus, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Hey, John, You know, it's our thing. We're the ones that are baptizing, and you're the one that's baptizing. And you pointed out that guy. You said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And now everybody's gravitating to him. Our crowds are getting smaller, and his crowds are getting bigger. And he started baptizing. John, what's that about? And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. I'm sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, talking about Jesus in the church. But the friend of the bridegroom, he's talking about himself, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And this is my joy. Therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. The plan of God is going to increase, but at some point, I'm going to decrease. I know that. I understand that. I'm going to come to the end of my ministry. He that cometh from above is above all. And he's talking about Jesus. And he that is of the earth is earthly, talking about himself, and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all, talking about Jesus as Lord. And then he's apprehended by Herod. And then he's in the prison. And in Matthew 11, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, because he's sitting there and he knows he's going to die. He's known it all his life because he's a prophet, unlike any other prophet in the Old Testament. And said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And in that prison cell, he's starting to wonder, maybe I have another stretch here. Maybe he's not the one. Maybe pressure will do that, and stress will do that, and fear will do that, and doubts will creep in when you're in a jail cell. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you go and show John those things which you do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And they turn to go back and deliver that message to John, and Jesus calls after him, and he says, and you tell John, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You tell John, you keep your mind and your heart straight. You keep your vision clear in that season of that prison that you're in. And you don't falter on the way out, John. I'm going to eulogize you. And he does here in this chapter. He eulogizes John. And he says there's not a prophet in the Old Testament greater than John. But John, at that moment of decline, and that moment where he's moving out of his season, he's starting to have a little bit of unease, and he's starting to have a few doubts. And Jesus said, I want you to know, John, the miracles are still happening. The kingdom is still growing. I'm gonna be what I've told you I'm gonna be, and it's all gonna work out like God intends. But don't you dare get offended in me because of the decline of your physical body or the decline of your circumstances. Don't get offended in me, John. Paul has a healthy response. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, man, I'm at the end of this. I've already died once and gone to heaven and come back, and I'm ready to go again. So he kind of has an edge on the rest of us. But he says, for now I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He says, Timothy, I'm about to go. I've fought a good fight. It's been my past. I'm realistic about it. It's been a good fight. I've finished my course. God gave me a course to run, and I'm at the end of it. And every one of us have a fight, and every one of us have a course. And the fight you fight for the kingdom of God is a good fight. And the course that God has given you, don't flinch and don't stop. Make sure you finish the course. I have kept the faith. I haven't wandered. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to them that love his appearing. So Paul is moving into promise, and Timothy is moving on into earthly ministry. Paul is grooming Timothy, and he's grooming others. And he tells him this in 2 Timothy 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And in that one slim verse, you've got four generations of apostolic truth. You've got Paul teaching Timothy, and Timothy teaching faithful men, and faithful men teaching others. And that's the way the kingdom of God works. And we do our job, and we bear up the responsibility of the kingdom of God, and we know that we won't last forever. Job has a perfect response. For I know my Redeemer liveth. Can we have some music? And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He says, I'm going to the grave. I'm going to turn back to dust. But he said, God's going to raise this dust up, and I'm going to stand in this body, and I'm going to see God, whom I shall see for myself. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my guts, my reins, my insides be consumed within me. This kingdom business is greater than any one season of ministry, greater than any chapter in anybody's life or any church's experience or any movement's history. This kingdom business is greater. So Moses is gone, and the tower and the fire are out. The night light is off. The manna's not going to come back. And Joshua's telling them, get yourself some food together. We're going 3 days, and we're going in, and we're taking the land. Pass through the host, command the people. And they've been under that cloud and under that light for 40 years. But that's about to change. And they've had that manna on the deck every morning except the Sabbath for 40 years. And that's about to change, because change is a constant dynamic, even in the kingdom of God. But they're about to do something their fathers wouldn't do. They're about to enter into the land of promise. They've buried their past. They've walked away from it. And they're about to enter into the promise of God. As a people, as a nation, they've been gone from Abraham's land for 440 years. But that promise is as old as Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham says, how shall I know this? And God says, well, and he's probably smiling when he said it, because Abraham didn't even slightly understand it. He said, your people are going to go down into a strange land, and they're going to be there for 400 years. And after the end of the 400 years, I'm going to bring them out, and I'm going to bring them back to this land. But I can't do it right now because the iniquity of the Amorites is not fulfilled. Okay. So God gave him that. But that's an old prophecy. And here they are. They're standing at a place of prophetic intersection, and they've buried their past. And multitudes have died in those 440 years. But here is the promise, bright, shining, gleaming, powerful, resplendent, untarnished, unchanged. The promise of God is the same that it's ever been. And men can wear out, and generations can be buried, and bodies can wear out, and we can fill up the graveyards and fill up one section of heaven. But the promise of God on the earth, it goes on and on and on. It's a new day. It's a new land. Destiny is in this potential. So the conversation about this is throughout the Word of God. I'm not going to go any further with this tonight. But Joshua says to Reuben and to Gad and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, he said, now Moses gave you some land here on the east side of Jordan. You're going to leave your wives and your children there. And then you're going to go over with us. And all of your mighty men and all of the armed men, you're going to go over with us. And we're going to fight until everybody has their promise fulfilled. So this is an important idea. You're not just going into promise by yourself. You're focused on taking others with you. And they made a promise to Moses. Now Moses is gone, but they made a promise to Moses, and they got to keep that promise. They've got to say, they looked at that land on the east side of Jordan, and they said, hey Moses, this is really good, and our animals are going to love this, and can we just stay here? He said, he consulted with God, and God said, it's all right. And so he went back to him, and he said, yeah, you can stay on the east side of Jordan, but you've got to come over and fight with us for the rest of Jordan land. You got to fight with us for the rest of Canaan land and help these other people secure their promise in that place. So the kingdom of God is moving on, and the promise of God is moving on. And you've got to remember the vows and the promises you've made in the past. But you've got to stand in the middle of a brand new day and make it real and actualize it in the middle of a brand new day. You've got to lay your hand on the shining orb of the promise of God and say, yes, this is going to happen today. And I'm going to go in today. And others may not have, but I'm going to go in. And I just want to touch somebody's heart tonight. And I want to tell you, make this thing real. Embrace this thing. We're going to have changes. Life's going to give us different scenarios and different circumstances. But we're going to stand in the power of the promise of God. And there's a promise for every generation. And there's an anointing for every generation. And there's a glory for every generation. And the kingdom of God just keeps right on moving. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift our voice. Something, I don't know where you are right now, so we might be able to find it. Maybe can. Got my foot on the rock, got my name on the roll. I can't reach it right there, I don't think. But find a place. I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me just do it and you find me. All right, how about that? Hello. We're configuring musical arrangements right now. But I want you to get a little energized about this. I want somebody that's really old, I want them to say, I got my foot on the rock. I got my name on the roll. I got Jesus in my heart. Salvation in my soul. And it's a long road, it's a long, long road. It's a long road, but I make it to the city someday. Hey, I got my foot on the rock, got my name on the roll. Got Jesus in my heart, salvation in me, my soul. It's a long way, hey, it's a long way. It's a long way, but I'll make it to the city someday. Now we're going to do something else with that too. I like that, okay. But that's where your confidence has to be. I got my foot on the rock of the name of Jesus, the rock of the Word of God. And so it doesn't matter to me what is happening in my world right now. I've got promises, and the promise of God always moves on. And I'll make it to the city one day. Well, that's about the city of God. That's where Moses went. Eventually, that's where Joshua went. And that's where we're all planning on going. Somebody say that to your children right now. I've got my name on the rock, got my foot on the road. Jesus in my heart, salvation in my soul, and it's a long way. Say, it's a long, long way. It's a long way. I'll make it to the city someday. And then I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. Hey, I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. Hey, listen, they got some beautiful mansions there, and I'm going to have me one. You like that? Hey, sing, I'm going to New Jerusalem. No, back to one there. I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. That's not a church, that's a heavenly place. New Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, here I come. Hey, they got some pretty mansions there, and I'm gonna have me one. And then we go back. I got my foot on the rock, got my name on the roll, got Jesus in my heart, salvation in my soul. It's a long way. It's a long, long way. It's a long way. I'll make it to the city someday. Now, go ahead. Now, this is Moses, and this is Joshua, all right? This is Moses and Joshua at the tent, and Moses is about to leave and go up on the mountain and die, you know? And he's not, I'm about to die. But Moses is ready to go to heaven, all right? And I got some insight. This is not included in the scripture, but I have a secret access. An old rabbi swears that this is true. See you later, alligator, after a while, crocodile. Moses said, see you later, alligator. And Joshua said, after a while, crocodile. Hey. Well, no, I'm going to be with Jesus, and I'm traveling with a smile. Come on. See you later, alligator. Okay, but you got to go back to one. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Tell somebody. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Well, I'm going to be with Jesus, and I'm traveling with a smile. Oh, I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. That's back in one. I'm going to New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, here I come. Hey, they got some beautiful mansions there, and I'm going to get me one. Well, the praise group has been subjected to some terrible things here, but they have responded so beautifully, and the musicians are so quick and so responsive. But what I want to communicate to you here is Moses, he went right on into glory with a smile on his face. And Joshua saw him go and said, I'm going there too. And Joshua stood up under the new mantle of his authority. And we've got a promise in heaven. And there's a new Jerusalem that we're going to take possession of. And I just want you to know, we've got the roll of God with our names written on it. And the blood of God is covering our lives. And we've got some promises that are inviolable. They are unchangeable. They are written in the Word of God. And so we're expecting great things. We're expecting God to do great things. One day we're going to run out of life, and we're going to go into greater life. And one day we're going to run out of steam, and we're going to go into greater experience in the kingdom of God. Can you receive that tonight? I want you to know that is the will and purpose of God for you tonight. You don't need to be getting old and crotchety. You need to be happy, and you need to be optimistic, and you need to walk in faith. And if you're young, you need to say, I got to come up under the mantle of this responsibility, because this old bald-headed preacher won't last forever. And all my Sunday school teachers won't last. And all of these people that are leading in the house of God right now, they won't last. But I'm going to come up. If you're a 10-year-old kid, you ought to say, I'm going to take on the mantle of God. And if you're a 15-year-old, you ought to say, God, use me. Here I am. I want to learn to be a giant killer too. You understand? That's the will and the purpose of God for your life. God bless you. So good to be with you on a Sunday night. And we look forward to being with you in Bible study. I'm going to be opening some Bible studies every morning this week at 8 o'clock. And we'll look to see who's there. We'll cast a net and we'll see what we can accomplish. But let's create some moments. I'd like to have the church family pray about these Bible studies. And I want you to pray that God would just draw the hungry and the thirsty into them. And if God will lay his hand on it, then we'll prosper in it. Everybody say amen. All right, God bless you. Good to see you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Unless you check in on the Bible studies, we'll see you then. God bless you.